Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, we're now across on the line to Ambassador Benjamin Kresner, who is in South Africa as a guest of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So we really appreciate you chatting with us here on The Home Run. I have recently received a Fox News report that is confirming that another U.S. aircraft carrier, the USS Nimitz, is on its way to the Middle East from Asia ahead of schedule. Should we read anything into this?
Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad to be here and to speak to you today. Just to clarify one thing, I'm an ambassador from Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Here is a guest of our embassy, not of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Anyway, just to clarify that.
Okay, thank you.
Listen, I don't think we need to, you know, America has been clear in stating that it is committed to Israel's defense. In the past, we have seen, obviously, American involvement in preventing attacks that were done last April and last October from Iran, assisting in doing that. I've spent 9 years of my diplomatic career serving the United States, and I can tell you that the support in America is bipartisan, steadfast, and strong, and so I don't think we should be concerned. It indicates, again, a commitment, and America often will move its forces to places where they are concerned there could be an even greater escalation of violence, and I think that that's what...
Do you think... Or do you see the U.S. entering this war?
Listen, I'm not here to make the decisions for the Americans. I think that the Americans have been very, very clear in supporting our defense, our right to self-defense, being committed to our defense. Obviously, America historically has been an important supplier of all kinds of material for our own, for our defense. And I think the Americans have also been very, very clear in terms of their messaging regarding what the ramifications would be if Iran acted against American interests and American forces in the...
Can Israel destroy the Fordo nuclear site without American assistance, especially without the help of the U.S. B-2 bombers?
Very technical military question. I'm not the best expert to tell you what kind of bomb is needed. I'm sure that, you know, when you have taken away a significant amount of the know-how, looking at the people who were the directors of the nuclear program that was designed to annihilate Israel, and this has been the clear statement of the Iranian leadership, they have lost a significant amount of their brain power. They have lost a significant amount of their infrastructure. They've lost a significant amount of their ballistic missile capability, which one of the reasons we had to go to this operation, because they were working on ramping up that capability so they could even more significantly increase their threat to Israel. So again, I think we've been working with great precision, focusing on military and strategic targets. And of course, that's in stark contrast to Iran, which has been randomly attacking civilian targets and seems to be very pleased that when they managed to kill Israeli civilians. Obviously, not surprising to us, but we are being focused on targets that could threaten the state of Israel.
The U.S. military, here's another report that I'm just receiving now, is moving a large number of refueling tanker aircraft to Europe to provide options, presumably, to Trump amid Middle East tensions. Do you think we could be looking at a regional war?
Listen, I would hope not. I don't think that anyone would really want to see a regional war. I think what everyone wants to see elimination of Iran's nuclear capabilities. Not only decrease, but destruction of Iran's abilities to attack Israel, to threaten other countries in the region, to project power globally. Let's remember, Iran, you know, the distance from Iran to Israel is somewhere around 1,300 kilometers from western Iran. Iran is developing a ballistic missile program that has the ability to carry warheads 3,000 kilometers, which is well into Europe. And we can ask ourselves, what do they need that for? That's not about Israel. That's not about their Gulf neighbors, which are really a short rocket away. No, it's about projecting power globally. That's what the regime was it trying to attain with their nuclear program, with their ballistic missile program? And that's why I think that we're all, we are receiving, how people understand the need to do this mission. And hopefully this will actually decrease the chances of there being a regional war by limiting Iran's ability to.
Ambassador, you spoke earlier about the bipartisan support in the United States. How do you think the Iranian war, or this current war, will shift the anti-Israel narrative in the United States, especially if it results in regime change?
Listen, this operation is against Iranian military and strategic targets. Iran's capabilities of threatening Israel. I think our support in the United States is very, very, very strong. I think it is something that has been in consensus regarding the need to stop Iran's nuclear weapons program, the need to take on Iran's proxies. And you can hear, of course, the voices of everyone understanding how the fact that the changes have gone on in the Middle East, whether they be the elimination of, most importantly, I would say, Hezbollah capabilities and others in the region, have actually been something that is a win for most of the free world. And so, again, I'm not concerned really about the United States, where if there's some marginal groups who want to raise their voices against Israel, that will always be the case. But by far, the consensus bipartisan support stands with Israel this time. Israel's right to self-defense, the commitment of the United States to Israel's defense, and the need to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons and continuing to threaten the world.
In your opinion, do you see the Iranian regime falling within weeks or months?
So I'm not involved in that. That's something the Iranian people are going to have to decide. The Iranian people are going to have to decide whether or not all the resources that Iran has spent on developing this capability, was this really the need? Was this really something that benefited their civilian population? Was this something that was warranted as a way of developing the country, or was it turned out to be a waste of valuable resources, and at the same time, a way for the regime to continue its repression of freedom, civil rights, human rights, women rights, LGBT rights in Iran, because basically Iran is a country where no one has rights.
There are reports that there are talks with Russia for some of the leaders who are still there to be evacuated to Russia. And here I'm seeing a report, the deputy chief of staff to Ali Khamenei and other senior officials are holding talks with high-ranking Russian officials to arrange the evacuation of Iran's supreme leader and his family from the country for political asylum. Is the idea to let them leave the country, or is the idea to actually make sure that they face the consequences of what they caused and of this war?
Listen, again, we are not focusing on this leader, that leader, in terms of the political leadership right now. We are focusing on the people who are leading and developing the program to threaten Israel. Obviously, Iran and Russia have very, very close contacts. Iran has been the number one provider of advanced UAV capabilities to Russia to continue with brutal attacks on Ukraine. And so we see the cooperation in other realm. And so, again, there's obviously a commitment of Russia to Iran in some way here. And if that includes that someone is going to take on the safe harbor, leave the country and go to be there, again, that's not something that we're focused on.
Can you comment on, let's say, if and when regime change happens, whether the Iranian people will opt for democracy or go back to a monarchy?
Listen, I think that Iran has proven in many ways to be have a democratic fabric in terms of free elections and of people wanting to speak and having a free media. And I think that that's truly probably what the people want. What their model of government they choose to implement, that's not for me to say. That's for the Iranian people to choose.
Mm. What's the general mood among the Western powers? Support for Israel or cause for a ceasefire?
Well, I think it's both. I think that, first of all, there are people who clearly understand and are committed to the fact that Iran had to be prevented from getting nuclear weapons. I think that people understand Israel's right to self-defense and understand why Israel had to take such actions. I think that that's what we're seeing a statement from major European capitals. At the same time, there's obviously a natural inclination of many of these countries, A, to see a D, to achieve a de-escalation for a lot of reasons, whether it be because people are getting killed or because it drives up oil prices or the like, or because they're concerned what Iran might do against them in various ways, whether it be their forces in the region or in their home capitals and places like that. So I think that's the voice. The other thing is that Europe and the United States actually have always preferred, as did we, a diplomatic solution to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. But clearly what has been attempted till now did not work. Clearly Iran basically pulled one over everyone's eyes while they engaged in diplomacy. And that was verified last week on the International Atomic Energy Agency reported how Iran was in violation of all its commitments and then how it dismantled various monitoring capabilities that were there to be sure that Iran wasn't violating its commitments according to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. And so all of those things that played out, I think, led to a fact that there's an understanding. And I think in some ways an admiration of what Israel's done over the last 4 days.
Ambassador, there's been a fair amount of destruction inside Israel itself. Was this level expected, or have we been caught by surprise?
Honestly, every single lost life, every single damaged home is something that hurts and hurts us deeply. And clearly, we always knew that it would be the home front who would be paying the price for this. You know, I recall in 1991 the experience of 39 Scud missiles from Iraq and how we dealt with that. This is a way much, much, much more significant scale. And as you well know, it's been touched many parts of Israel, in Haifa, in Bat Yam, in Petah Tikva, in Bnei Brak, in Rishon LeZion, in the Arab city of Tamra. No one's been immune to it. So it's really frightening, disturbing, and saddening to see this. But everything that we hear right now from the experts is that obviously there was an expectation that there would be retaliations, that it would be against civilian targets, because that's what Iran preferred to do, and that unfortunately there would be fatalities, and that's what we're seeing. And again, I'm not an expert to see is it more than we expected or less, but I'm following the experts, and certainly we had prepared for the worst.
Do you believe that diplomatic channels with Iran are dead? Or is there still space for quiet back-channeling even now?
Look, I think the reports that are out there that there are diplomatic engagement going on. There was originally a discussion that, in spite of the attack on Thursday night, Friday morning, that the American negotiator Witkoff would have met the Iranians in Oman on Sunday. That obviously didn't happen. But I'm sure that there are channels of communication. We're reading about it now through various Arab countries. There have been contacts over the years between various people who are trying now to intercede and see if they can bring this to a closure. I understand that. I think that's totally to be expected. And if part of that closure is that Iran nuclear weapons capability and ballistic missile capability is turned into an issue of history and no longer is going to be threatening Israel, then we would certainly support it.
One last question before I let you go, and I don't want us to forget Gaza. What for you would be the end game for Israel vis-a-vis Gaza?
Listen, any end game in Gaza begins and has to include immediate release of all our hostages, those who are alive and the bodies of those who they are still horrifically holding on to and not letting be released for their families. That's the first piece of it. Second thing, clearly, it cannot be a Gaza ruled by Hamas. Hamas can no longer exist as a military armed entity within Gaza. Beyond that, we don't have a problem with the people of Gaza. You know, I would understand why there needs to be humanitarian aid going in, why eventually there will need to be reconstruction, why eventually there's going to be some semblance of a governing structure in Gaza on the day after. But clearly it can't include Hamas, and it will not start without all of our hostages.
Ambassador Benjamin Kresner, who's in South Africa as a guest of the Israeli embassy, thank you so much for giving of your time and providing us with your insight. We appreciate it.